Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This time of the week, we always welcome in Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. The rare noon kickoff for you, Josh. You'll be on 3 hours before kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. Good morning.
Good morning. And a morning is how you say it. The sun is up. The sun's still moving in an upwards trajectory, and I'm going to be doing radio. That's bizarre, fellas. I have to sit 7 or 8 alarms just to get ready for this at 11 every day.
I don't know Friday. On your stance here. It is egregious. It is still this warm outside. I'm over it.
Well, Sunday's going to be 60s.
Can I get 60s. Some fall weather, please? No.
Cody, you've come to the right place. I am furious. I have been wearing almost exclusively tank tops around my house for the last, 6 months.
It's almost Halloween.
We've had a couple of like annoyingly warm Halloweens where like you can't even plan your costume. He's like, well, I might be pitting out through this onesie I was planning on wearing. It's going to be 80 degrees. No, I hate it. This exact sort of realm of weather is a beautiful thing as you're turning the corner from spring into summer and we all get a little life back in our bones. But I know what's going to happen now. It's going to be 80, 82, 85, 40, 42, 45. And we're going to skip fall and I'm going to be furious because fall is in fact my favorite weather season, no doubt.
Good news though. Again, I think Sunday is going to be the perfect football fall day, man. It's like 65 degrees for a noon kick. It's going to be great out at Arrowhead. We were talking about the Raiders and of course, if they were healthy, you had Bowers to worry about with Jinty and Jacoby Myers. They're going to be missing some of these guys. What do you make of the Raiders who have a quarterback that leads the league in interceptions?
All of my off-season opinions of all of the things that I didn't do like a deep dive into, but I kind of had a hunch about, I don't think I've been more wrong than anything other than the Las Vegas Raiders this season. I just thought that there would be a sort of floor raising with an adult at head coach and an adult at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I hold out a little bit of optimism for Geno Smith because I don't think, I hope that what he's doing with the Raiders right now, this has been the case for several players over the course of their history. I hope what he's doing with the Raiders right now doesn't wash away the resurgence that we saw in Seattle for him. I think that's legit. I think that player is still in there. I don't know if it's the offensive line, if it's losing the weapons, if it's him feeling like he's pressing and trying to do too much, but there is still a dangerous version of Geno Smith, but unfortunately for the team he plays for, he's been more dangerous to the Raiders than he has been to their opponents. You mentioned Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers. Those would be the next two guys you talk about, and again, right now, they haven't practiced yet this week. I don't know exactly how the Raiders are going to navigate, if a guy can practice a little bit on Friday as he opened for the game. We'll see how Pete Carroll would want to handle that, but right now, it looks like it's a pretty thin team, pretty shorthanded, and even with Jinty, he's an excellent football player. He will have a couple of nice plays. He can make you pay. And look, the NFL's been so weird this year that I have no interest in being like, yep, no, this game's over. Go ahead and just put it in the win column for the Chiefs, loss column for the Raiders. I'm not there. Obviously, the Chiefs can't be there. But even with Jinty, the Chiefs have done a really, really good job against Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Travis Etienne, David Montgomery, and Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, I think I may have skipped over somebody in there. Cam Scatabo, if you want to bring him into the mix.
Sure.
Like, they have done such a nice job. job of corralling these sort of star of the offense running backs. And I think that with no other real threats in this offense right now, I think that they're going to do an okay job corralling Janty.
Will everyone this weekend indeed eat, right? Will we see a distribution of work across there, or is it going to be Rashee Rice gets 11 targets, Travis Kelce gets 7, and everyone else gets 2?
I do think, in particular, because it is the first game back for Rashee Rice, I think it makes plenty of sense if he plays 60, 70% of the snaps. It wouldn't surprise me, I suppose, if they said, hey, bud, welcome back. We got the Bills in a couple of weeks, and we're just going to go ahead and get you ramped up because you're the freshest legs on the field right now. So I really could see it going either way, but I think it makes some sense to just try to bring him into the rotation again. And there's enough depth everywhere else in the wide receiver room that you don't feel like you have to have him as much as possible. But I really do think the impact is going to be evident. I think it's going to be evident from game one. I think it's going to be a loud return for Rashee Rice, if not just on Sunday at noon, over these next few weeks. I think in 3 or 4 weeks, maybe it's a big game in primetime against the Commanders. Maybe it's in that game against Buffalo. I think Rashee Rice is going to rightfully become a real national conversation topic of, oh, bleep, the Chiefs were down. We had a chance. They got to 3-3, and then they brought back a guy who's going to make a significant, significant difference.
Josh Briscoe joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him 3 hours before kickoff and also after the game right here when the Chiefs take on the Raiders. Left tackle, how good do you feel about Jalen Moore? We know he's going to play on Sunday. Josh Simmons not with the team right now. So Moore looked good against the Lions. He was potentially going to be their starter if they couldn't draft Josh Simmons anyway. How do you feel about that moving forward if it's going to be a while?
Yeah, so two prongs of it for me is, one, just like, how did Jalen Moore play and how do we expect him to play? I thought he played pretty darn well against the Lions, and this is obviously another huge test with Max Crosby. And there is a difference between being a guy who got all the reps as a starter in practice that week and, of course, being a guy that the opposing defense is planning for all week. So Max Crosby has been scouting for Jalen Moore in a way that Aiden Hutchinson wasn't last week. So there is an escalation in the challenge there for him. But if you'll give me the diatribe, I've said this a bunch. I said this, I think, on postgame. I've talked about this like 5 or 6 times this week. I'm going to talk about it again on pregame, and I still don't think that's going to be enough. I am just so overwhelmingly appreciative of the way that Jalen Moore has handled his last 6 months, because when he signed with this team, I guess March, 7 months, when he signed with this team, you have to believe that he at least expected to have the opportunity to win that left tackle job, to spend this 2-year deal protecting the blind side of Patrick Mahomes and the best, highest profile offense in the sport, highest profile team. And so either the Chiefs extend him if he has a good year this year, or he hits free agency in a couple years, or whatever it may be. So that's got to be the headspace he's coming in with. And then they draft Josh Simmons. They go, okay, well, he's coming off a knee, so we'll see where he ends up. Well, Josh Simmons is healthy. Okay, well, maybe I can compete with him in training camp, and one of us will win the job. I can have the rookie sit for, well, Josh Simmons is healthy and good and getting every snap at left tackle. And now Jalen Moore is getting some second team snaps at left tackle. He got some run at right tackle with the first team before Juwan Taylor came back. Then Taylor came back. Then we're all asking, well, what if Kingsley's a problem at left guard? Can Jalen Moore play guard in a pinch if necessary? And so he went from a guy who I think had to be telling his friends and family, I just signed for a whole bunch of money to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side, to now being, with all due respect to this guy, being Mike Caliendo in terms of like the sixth lineman, or Andrew Wiley, to go back a little bit, from a guy who can play outside, inside. And again, Jalen Moore has been compensated very well for that. His professionalism, his ability has earned him that money, and he held that line against the Lions on Sunday. But I just think it's such an important part of what happened against the Lions. And it's just a rare situation, I think, where Jalen Moore would have every right to have been pouty at some point, to at least be frustrated that he didn't ever really get the chance, honestly, to win that left tackle job. Then his number gets called in week 6 and he's ready for it. I just was really, really impressed by that.
Back a little bit to Rashee Rice. He's an interesting spot because he played really well his rookie year. Then he had 3 tremendous games his second year. Been hurt all year, missed the first 6 games for his own fault. Do you think it's fair to still have questions about how high Rashee Rice will rank amongst great wide receivers in the NFL? Or do you think that's like a known? Because like, I still ride in this camp of like, well, I'd still like him to actually prove it. for like a stretch of time that exists that's not just three games. And I understand he's a very good wide receiver his rookie year as well, but like to put him in the top 10 or 20 category, I feel like I need to see it for some stretch.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. And I think once you get, look, like there's probably a top three, maybe, where it's just like these guys are in like
Jefferson, Chase, Puka Nakua. I don't
maybe,
even,
yeah, like, yeah, they can I didn't, honestly there. Hadn't even put Puka in there. Yeah, like JSN's rising through the top 10 and all of that. Like, so there are these guys who are just like semi deity levels of how they're playing right now. And then you have the rest of an incredible top 10 where names are going to come and go. Guy gets a year older, guy takes a step like JSN has. So I don't know where exactly I want to put Rice in the hierarchy of all of that. And I think by any reasonable metric, he does still need to quote unquote prove that he belongs there. I am still willing to project him into that place because of what we have seen specifically in this offense. And now projecting forward, seeing what I think he's going to do in this offense, having him actually get to be, fingers crossed, knock on wood here, the healthy underneath yards after the catch foil to an offense that has figured out how to use Xavier Worthy in the deep and intermediate, Hollywood Brown in the intermediate. Juju's already been doing a lot of that underneath yak work that now becomes Rashee Rice's job. Juju's going to play plenty, and he still should. But and then you have Tyquan Thornton, who still demands that respect going deep downfield. I haven't mentioned Travis Kelce's name yet. I just think the pieces here all really fit together in a very nice way that's going to make it easier than it would be for most for Rashee Rice to come in and really assert himself. I think it's totally okay to have a twinge of skepticism, just wondering like what tier does he get into, but I think in terms of how much it's going to elevate the Chiefs offense, I just think that's going to happen relatively quickly.
The AFC feels wide open at this point, at least when we talk about seeding, and I think it's every division leader right now was not a division champ last year, if I'm not mistaken, with the Patriots now technically in first in the AFC East. And we saw the Steelers go down yesterday. And while they still might win that division and still maybe an 11-win team or whatever, they're the same old Steelers to me. They're not a threat in the conversation. Can they get to an AFC title game? Can they get to a Super Bowl? Where are you at on Pittsburgh?
I've developed a new theory of football after last weekend's action, and it has really rung true last night. In 2025 in the NFL, everybody's the Chargers. And with that,
so
with
like
that
mediocre with some higher end potential.
High,
could you explain what you mean by Chargers?
Yes, yeah. Yes. High upside, low floor, total chaos is on the table where it just feels like legitimately here, like 20 or 25 teams have the capability of putting together one good high scoring day or one good defensive effort or one stinker. The Atlanta Falcons got shut out by the Carolina Panthers, and then the Panthers looked terrible, and then the Falcons turned around, and then the Panthers may be okay again. The Chargers are, of course, the perfect example of this.
Yes.
The Bengals are hilarious, and I really think you guys need to start getting a little fundraising going to get Drew a Flacco Bengals jersey. I think that's a flag he needs to be able to plant and say that, no, this is where Joe Flacco really hit his stride here with me in Cincinnati.
Well, there might be a quarterback controversy if he rattles off 6 wins or so. I mean, finally a quarterback in Cincy that can win when their team gives up 31 points, you know?
I mean, look, I think it's nice that the Bengals finally have a Joe under center who they can finally count on. I mean, I just think that's really important. But that really is where I stand now, and where there's just kind of this muck, this mire of all of these teams that are kind of around contention. You have your stinkers. Obviously, the Jets are miserable. The Titans are in a bad place. But if you told me, like, yeah, the Titans fire their coach, and then they put out in a week or two the best game of their season, that kind of thing happens all the time. I think the Chiefs are a thoroughly better football team on offense and defense than the Las Vegas Raiders. But if they play this game 10 times, they're losing at least one of those. It just weird bleep happens. So that is really, I think, where the entire NFL is at. And the way that you rise up those ranks is that you don't shoot yourself in the foot. Maybe your opponent has a better day than you expected, but if you don't have a worse day, then you can probably still go ahead and get out of there with a win. That's the thing that's been the problem with the Bills and with Josh Allen. Like, okay, when these games have been... These have been close. These are games that we could pull out if you get a great Josh Allen play. Maybe you get a pick instead, and it's going the other direction. So I just think we are in a cyclonic NFL season right now. Everything's up in the air. Everything is spinning. And after it all, the 3-3, 500 Kansas City Chiefs seem to be in as good of a position as anybody.
I think that's why everyone nationally, despite there are only two things nationally, either the refs are being paid by Clark Hunt in order to keep things status quo. But the other adage was, I'll give, like, everyone was ready to be like, I don't care if they're 3-3. That's one of the two best teams in the league. Everyone was ready because I think of what you're saying about the Chargers in the sense they're like, you know what? I know what that defense has done historically, and now they can score again. We've never seen, funny enough, a team that could be led by either, and I still obviously think they're led by offense right now, but for all the years they were led by offense, and now they're led by, they were led by defense for 2 years in a row. It's like, if there's any possibility that they actually hit both things in the top 10 at the same time, I do think they're an unstoppable juggernaut.
Right, because how many teams in the NFL have a legitimate path to having a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense? Or
it's
even
very
if you
few.
Want to loosen it up, a top 3 offense and a top 15 defense.
DVOA, they're top 6 on defense and top 3, I think, on offense.
That's fascinating, and it's crazy. I think the Jags game really taints the lenses that we're looking through there, because that was such a frustrating defensive effort at the end, and you go, oh man, so many chances here. But again, the offense feels like pretty much fixed now. If we would have just seen the Lions game and said, all right, here's the offense the rest of the season, I'd feel pretty good. And the number one option in this offense for the last 2 years, who has been able to be on the field for a little more than 3 games, he makes his return on Sunday. It's really hard not to be excited. I still have a couple things defensively that I'm keeping an eye on. I
for
think
sure.
The 4-man pass rush still has some room to improve. But if the defense is good, if you can lean on Spags games and some Chris Jones takeover snaps, that can be a good enough defense to meet a very good offense that should be hitting its stride here. And I don't know who you're taking over the Chiefs, which again is hilarious considering how this season started.
Sunday, any idea of how the game flow goes? Do you think this is going to be a lot closer than people think? I know the Chiefs are 11.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't touch that line with somebody else's money. I don't know if I would love for this to be a game where the Chiefs lead it by, they're up 17-3 early on and then just kind of hold them at arm's length like little brother that way. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if it's a one-score game until the very end and then the Chiefs score and maybe then it's close to the line or the Raiders have a backdoor cover or whatever it may be. I don't think the Chiefs are going to bring out here's the thing. This is one of those games where in recent years you'd go, yeah, this is just like kind of a meat and potatoes. Just go out there, play your game, get out and save some fireworks for Buffalo in a couple weeks, Washington, whatever, and just escape healthily. But with Rashee Rice coming back in this game, I do think we are going to see a new wrinkle just because he hasn't been on the field yet. So I think the new stuff will be Rashee Rice. I think he can be an extension of some of the easy stuff, the running game, the yak, that way. And then I'd love to see Isaiah Pacheco get into a little bit of a rhythm and just try to let him shorten this game a little bit and get into that rhythm there. You cannot let this turn into some sort of foot race with the Raiders where you're going, oh my goodness, okay, so Geno's found his groove again, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Chiefs have enough talent, specifically in the back of that defense. I think this should be a game that they control. I will never say that it's a game they should win comfortably.
Josh Briscoe will be listening 3 hours before kickoff and, of course, after the game as well, right here on 96.5 The Fan. He is the pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. Thanks, man.
Do I have to ask somebody to let me into the building before 9 o'clock?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes.
Not sure.
Yeah, yeah. Cody will be here to help you get in.
Yeah, yeah, Cody, if you could just come by and let me in, I'd appreciate it.
I got
it.
Kids. I'm up at 6 no matter what.
There you go. That's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.